We continue our learning of the Nishmas from Asleya, Helen Basleya, David Menachem, Moshe Menachem Yaakov, Benichus Leo. We are in Bava Metzia, Perek Hey Mishnah Hey. Shamin Parava Chamor V'Chol Davar Shu Osev Ochel Lemechza. He was speaking about not a young, not a calf, not a young donkey, but rather have a para, have a full-grown cow, a full-grown donkey, and they're able, capable to work. And this would be true, by the way, any animal that's able to do work to pay for anyone who's taking care of it, it pays for it because it's doing enough work that he's able to make money based on that. And whatever work is done, so whoever's raising the animal, Reuven gives this animal to Shimon, and Shimon's working it, but Shimon's but the payment is really there. The work that is done by the animal is given to Shimon, who's working the animal, as that was payment for all of the effort that he puts in, and the food that he feeds it, he's going to be paid through that. So what's happening is that Reuven's giving the animal as an investment. They're going to share in the increase of the animal. Let's say the animal becomes more expensive, it gets fatter, or let's say it gives birth. So the parrot gives birth, so then you have the children. They're going to share in that as well. So in the previous Mishnah, where we spoke about calves or young donkeys, and we said you can't assess them at mechza, that the half profit, unless you're paying the worker for his for the food that he has to feed the animals, or the effort that he's putting in. So that's true when it comes to young animals. But here, the animal itself is paying for it. It's paying for itself. So the payment the animal is basically being paid for, and the worker is being paid for his work through the work that the animal does. So this is allowed. Shamin paravachamor. And this is also, why is this allowed? It's a half loan, half picadon. So half milva, half picadon. So this is okay because he's being paid. He doesn't have to pay him out of his pocket like a laborer because he's getting the payment through what the animal does as well. And then the Mishnah says, Makam shenagu lachlok es avlados miyad cholkim. Makam shenagu lagadel yigadelu. And which means if you're living in a place where the minig is that the offspring are split up immediately. So then you follow that custom. So these, let's see, Reuven and Shimon in this type of transaction, this type of arrangement, and the animal, the para gave birth. So, and after some time, if it's smaller animals like sheep and goats, it's 30 days. For larger animals, it's 50 days. And so what do? They divide the children, the vlados. So if that's the custom, that's what they do. There's no obligation for Shimon to continue raising the young children because they follow the custom. Now it's time to split them. But of course, if the minhag is makom shano legadel, to raise them, that the worker, in this case Shimon, is supposed to, if the custom in that area is to raise them past those that time, 30 days or the 50 days, he got them. So this has his obligation to do so, and he should continue doing so. Then the Mishnah says, from Shimon Gamliel Omer, shamin egel im imo, usyach im imo. Literally, we assess a calf with its mother and a young donkey with its mother. So if you remember in the previous Mishnah, we spoke about if you have calves or you have young donkeys, you can't assess them at the mechza, at the half profit, because that, unless you're paying the person for the work, so that arrangement should not be made. Comes from Shimon Gamliel to say that arrangement can be made if it's done together with the mother of the animals. And this is where, and what does that mean? So here, Reuven, who's investing, who's giving the animal to Shimon, who's giving, let's say, the egel, the calf, with the mother para, with the mother cow. So Reuven only has to pay for the effort and the food regarding caring for the mother, not for the vla, not for the offspring. Why is that so? But since the calf or the young donkey, it always follows its mother, and there's very little work you have to do. The mother's kind of taking care of it. So, and the little bit of work he does, we assume, okay, there's manure that drops from the animals, and that's enough for the payment. And therefore, you're allowed to evaluate an egel imimo, which means you don't have to pay him for the work of the egel, as long as you're paying it for the work of the mother. And the same thing, siach imimo, the young donkey, with the mother. Then the Mishnah concludes, umafriz al sadehu, ve'ena choshish mishum ribis. Here is a case where you have a maskir, someone who's a landlord, and normally he rents out his field for 10 kor at a time. And the socher, who's the tenant, says, you know what? It's usually 10 kor for the year, whatever it is. You know what? I'll give you 12 kor as long as you lend me $200, 200 zuz, and with that, I'll be able to buy fertilizer and for the field. So says the Mishnah, that is acceptable, that's fine, even though what's happening here? Here, you have what does the Moscow usually do? He rents out his field for 10 kor per year, and now the tenant is saying, so I'm going to pay you more, as long as what? You give me 200 zuz to buy fertilizer, so it looks like ribis. So here, I mean, he's lending the tenant money to fertilize the field, so it produces crops. Eino chosheish mishum ribis, not a palm of ribis. The tenant can't pay the extra two kor from 12 kor instead of 10. Why? Because the maskir, the landlord, is renting him really a field that's more fertile and can produce more crops. We're not concerned about ribis at all. Perakei Mishnevav. Ein mikablin tzon barzel miyisrael b'nei shuhu ribis. Okay, so there's a concern here of ribis. What does this mean? Tzon barzel is, we have in the ksuvos. Tzon barzel means something where it's cheap, and it's iron cheap, which means it's obviously it's a good investment. This is what it means. Where you give property to, Reuven gives property to Shimon, who's going to work for him, and Shimon now takes a full responsibility. It's not like half, and this is considered, he's taking full responsibility for anything that happens. He's going to that's going to be his payment. He has to make sure to return that exact value that happened in the Ksuba. Nichsei Tzon Barzel, where the husband is able to invest, but able to use the money that's placed in the Ksuba, but upon divorce or his passing, that money has to go back to the wife, is exact value. It's not nechsei malog, where if it depreciates, that's the woman's problem. So the same thing here. Here Shimon takes the property, and he's going to work the property and make sure he can gain from it, but he may have to make sure that at least that value is returned, and that's why it's called tzon barzel. And the plan, of course, here, the same thing, is to divide the profits. But like we said, it's like iron, because the owner is not doesn't risk anything, doesn't suffer a loss, doesn't have to worry the animal dies, whatever it is, gets sick. That's a responsibility of Shimon. This is not allowed in an issue of ribis, because this is ribis. What's the issue? The issue is that Shimon, we should know this already, Shimon is working and he's completely responsible for the investment. So we consider giving the animal as a loan, and the share that of the profits that he has to give Reuven, Shimon's doing all the work, he gives Reuven, is considered interest. So this is going to be a problem. Now you'll say, is this going to be ribis d'oraisa? So we assume this is ribis d'rabbanan, because it wasn't stipulated from the very beginning. Nonetheless, if you remember, we learned in Mishnah Dalet already that you can't make this arrangement even if Shimon, who's working for Reuven in this case, in this investment, he accepts only half the responsibility. So obviously, if he's accepting full responsibility, it's not allowed. So what do I need this Mishnah here at all? So some of the Rishonim say, I'll tell you, this halacha I don't need, this is just an introduction. This, of course, I know. Because the next line in the Mishnah says, Aval mekablin tzon barzel min anachron. But you are allowed to make such an arrangement with a non-Jew. The non-Jew, is giving the money to a Jew, so you have John is giving money now to, Chris is giving money to, Shimon. So then, that is acceptable. So that's one, and we'll see, we'll have to see that case in a moment. So one other explanation is that maybe this Mishnah is different. This Mishnah is teaching us that when it's not half, but he's taking full responsibility, so then even if Reuven is paying for the food for the animal and the effort, whatever it is, it's still not allowed. So that's another possibility. Either way, then the Mishnah says, I've a makablin tzon barzel min anachron. Since you're allowed to borrow from non-Jews on interest, that's fine. You're also allowed to accept this type of arrangement from them as well. Tzon barzel. And the Mishnah needs to tell us that this is allowed in this particular case. So you shouldn't think, oh, you know, maybe, you know, obviously it should be allowed. If you tell me I'm allowed, there's no problem of ribis with a non-Jew. So of course, this type of arrangement is okay. So the answer is no. Maybe I would thought, because he's accepting full loss and full responsibility and only getting a share of a profit, then he gives half to the non-Jew. Maybe this is a problem los tachanim. You're not permitted to give a free gift to a non-Jew. So maybe that would be a problem. The chiddush of the Mishnah is that it's not a problem at all. V'lovin mehenu malvin osan rubis. Now the general halacha, you're allowed to borrow money on interest from a non-Jew, and we're allowed to lend to a non-Jew on interest. The pasuk says lanachri sashich, which applies both to the lender and the borrower. The Gemara says andaf ayin amid beis. Nonetheless, midrabanan, there is an ister to lend money to non-Jews because we're afraid that may get close to them. I may learn from them. We have problems of Bishul Akum as well because of that. But if you really need, for a person needs for their livelihood, maybe Tamadei Chachamim, who we're not going to learn from them, so that would be permitted, and maybe that's the reason why it's something that, because when we need for business purposes, we allow it today, even though Midei Rabbanan maybe it should not have been allowed. V'chin b'ger ger toshav. A ger toshav is the non-Jew who lives in the land of Israel, who's accepted upon himself the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. And maybe I would have thought, oh, well, we have an obligation to sustain such a person in Eretz Yisrael. So maybe we would say that the prohibition of ribus applies to the Ger Toshav. The answer is no. Then the Mishnah says, Malve Yisrael ma'osav shel nachri midas ha-nachri avalo midas Yisrael. This is a little bit confusing. So let's take the first case where it says, Malve Yisrael ma'osav shel nachri midas ha-nachri. Yisrael, a Jew, is able to lend his money, the money of a non-Jew, with the deo, with the knowledge of the Nachri, and we're obviously with showing why this is not a problem of interest. The question is, why would I have thought? So we're talking about a case, let's say Reuven borrowed money from Chris, so it was a non-Jew, and he wants to pay him back. He borrowed $1,000, and he's going to pay him back. And then he's gonna pay him interest. So he borrowed $1,000, he's gonna pay him back $1,200. And then Shimon comes and meets Reuven and says, you know what? I need $1,000. Can you give me the $1,000? And I'll tell you what, I will pay you, Reuven, that interest. So for my use of the money, so that when you go back, you know, when you pay the loan to the non-Jew, to Chris, you know, you'll be able to pay with interest. I'll pay that interest. So says the Mishnah, that's okay. As long as there's some introduction, the one way to explain the Mishnah, we'll see the Gemara will tell us exactly how to understand the Mishnah. But the simple reading of the Mishnah is, as long as Reuven makes this introduction and says, oh, by the way, Chris, I'm bringing Shimon into the circle here. And Shimon says, this is no problem at all. And the non-Jew says, I'm happy with that arrangement, so Shimon's going to pay me back. That's okay, even though Reuven may be the one who's giving the money to Shimon. He's giving the money to him on interest, and that money is being paid to the non-Jew, because at the end of the day, the money is being paid to the non-Jew. The Gemara says, no, this is not allowed, because a Jew can't be a shaliach for a non-Jew, and therefore we view it as if Reuven is lending money to Shimon with interest. Shimon's paying Reuven the money back with interest. So the case must be where the non-Jew took the money from Reuven and he gave it to Shimon. So the non-Jew is involved. It's where the money was given. Reuven gave the money to the non-Jew, and now Chris gave that money to Shimon. So that's allowed, even though the reason why the non-Jew is giving the money is because Reuven asked him to do, that's okay. Avalo midas Yisrael, says the Mishnah. So what case is not allowed? It's a problem of interest. This is where, let's say, Chris, the non-Jew, borrowed money with interest from Reuven. So here the non-Jew owes money, he borrowed $1,000 from Reuven. He owes money $1,200 to Reuven and wants to pay him that money. Shimon meets Chris and says, oh, you know what? I need money, I need $1,000. I'll tell you what, I'll pay you interest. I'm going to use the $1,000. I'll pay you, $1,200. I'm using the money, and you'll give that money back to Reuven. So the Mishnah telling us this is not a let. If, in this case, in Chris, there's the non-Jew, doesn't make an introduction between Shimon and Reuven and say, is this okay? Can we lend the money to Shimon? So the Mishnah says, so here what we're saying is like this. If the non-Jew does not make the introduction, so then it's allowed. Even though he lent the money, that he really owes Reuven, that Shimon lent the money that he really owes Reuven. The Mishnah is saying that if what's not allowed? If the non-Jew brings Shimon to Reuven, makes the introduction before giving him the loan, then paying him back with interest would not be allowed. What's the issue here? So somebody showed him say like this, the Rashi, Rabbi Nechananel, because Chris in this case is lending the money as Reuven's shaliach. And now Reuven makes the lender and Shimon is the borrower. I'll say midoraisa, a non-Jew doesn't serve as a shaliach. Nonetheless, the Chachamim said in these cases, we give him the power of being a shaliach in this particular case.